Hey y'all, my name is Jacob Duncan. I'm on staff here at New Vision as the music director for our worship team, and I get to continue us on today in our 1 Thessalonians series, Called Up. And so I'll be reading chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. So I'm just going to start by reading it, and then I'll give a couple thoughts afterwards. So here we go. I'll be reading from the ESV. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So just right off the bat, verse 16 is pretty simple. Paul doesn't really beat around the bush. He gives us exactly what we need to do. Verse 16 is really only two words: rejoice always. And what I love about this is he doesn't say rejoice when things are going well, rejoice when you're feeling happy, and rejoice when you've had a good day, but he says rejoice always. So that means in the good and the bad. And I think what Paul is trying to convey here, if we look at verse 18, he's saying that this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. So in our salvation, we rejoice from a place of salvation. We rejoice from a place of knowing that we are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we have a home in heaven, that this is not our home. And I think we should be reminded daily, every time we experience some sort of brokenness in this world or some sort of glimmer of hope in the beauty of God's creation and the good and pure things that still exist in this world that are maybe still tainted by sin and by death and by the havoc that was wreaked in the garden, that we can be remembered that this is not the end for us. This is merely just a shadow of things to come, and that we can rejoice in that. We don't rejoice in our current circumstances, whether they be good or bad, but we rejoice in God. And so this filters these three things that Paul gives us here. He moves on and says, pray without ceasing. Now, obviously, there's value in your quiet time with the Lord, taking intentional time out of your day to close off all distractions. Jesus even says to go into your room and shut the door behind you and to be alone with your Father who loves you and wants to hear from you. But there's also a type of prayer that is without ceasing, like Paul talks about. And what does that mean? Does that mean that devalues our alone time with the Lord? No, it just simply means that we don't have to be in the perfect circumstances, which honestly, we'll probably never get to those perfect circumstances. Sometimes the Lord blesses us with those, but that doesn't always happen. So we have to find time throughout the day where we can constantly be in conversation with the Lord. You think about if you're with a friend all day, you're constantly going to be in conversation. Things will come up as you go about your day, as you're out doing things. You're constantly going to have things to talk about. There will be times where you're not, but there's also times where you get to confide in that person. It's more real in that with God than anyone else we could ever meet on earth. And just what a gift that is, that we can speak to him at any time we want. We don't have to be in the right location, at the right time frame, when God's free, when he's not busy. He's never busy. He's never too busy to meet with his children. And so we can even rejoice in that. And Paul also says to give thanks in all circumstances. So again, it's kind of echoing what he originally said. And he's saying, give thanks in all circumstances. And other translations might say, give thanks in everything. He's not saying give thanks for everything. He's not saying to sit there and count out all the ways that God has been faithful. But he's saying in all circumstances, just realize that God is sovereign, that he is in charge. Things don't just happen, that everything is working within God's will, and he is fully in control, and we can rest in that. We should give thanks for that. The chief thing being that we are saved. that we are his child because he made provision for us in the cross. Peter talks about in his letter that the cross was the plan before the foundations of the world. So before time had even began, God had made provision for us. That's how much he loves us. And Jesus tells us that in the practical earthly things, that God makes provision for those. We can see evidence in his creation that he cares for the birds. He cares for the insects and the flowers and everything in creation. They all are given provision. And how much more would he care for those who he's created in his image? And so this has been an immense encouragement to me, and I hope it is for you today. We hope to see you back here tomorrow as we continue on in our First Thessalonians series. And I hope you all have a good day. Bye, guys.